Good morning and welcome to A Penny for Your Thoughts with Brian Barnhart on News Talk 1400 WDWS. For over 60 years, East Central Illinois' daily gathering spot for conversation, dialogue, and ideas. You can join in on the phone, online, or via a text. Our phone number is 217-356-9397. Email talk at WDWS.com. Or text us on the Castle Heating and Cooling text line, 217-351-5357. Here's Brian Barnhart.
And good morning, everybody. As we've made it to a Tuesday, it is the 6th day of February. Glad you're with us on A Penny for Your Thoughts, and hope you'll join us during the course of both hours today as we take you up until 11 o'clock today. Had a variety of calls yesterday and texts and emails, more texts and emails than anything else yesterday on the Monday Morning Quarterback Show, so enjoyed our visit with Lauren Tate as we recap the weekend. And now we head into the rest of the week here and a busy show again today, as always, as we'll start off the show with a couple of representatives from OSF. You may have heard the Order of St. Francis, now Healthcare, OSF Healthcare, here in Urbana and Danville. We will visit with Dr. Jared Rogers. He's the president of OSF Healthcare. They just took over the Presence Health facilities there in Urbana and over in Danville as well. So Dr. Jared Rogers will be with us. And also Chad Bohr, he's the chief executive officer of the OSF Healthcare Eastern Region. And you may have seen the changes that occurred there on February 1st. They are with us here for a little bit this morning to talk about the change and what all that means for you and different things going on with that. So we will start with those two gentlemen here in the first hour, then we'll have an open line. The rest of the morning, we will talk a little bit about the stock market. It's interesting. The stocks yesterday, the Dow, fell over 1,100 points, biggest drop, one-day drop in history. And then today, the futures, the Asian markets, got clobbered. The European markets were down. And then, as it turned out, the futures were all saying the Dow would be down 500. And then in the last few minutes, it's up 200. It was up over 300 a couple of minutes ago. So we'll talk about what's going on there and maybe get your comments on that as well here this morning. And whatever else is on your mind throughout the morning on an open line. 356-9397 is how you can join us on the phone line. Castle Heating and Cooling text line, 217-351-5357. And you can email us, talk at WDWS.com. Right about 4 degrees now in downtown Champaign. Good to see the sun. Had a little snow last night coming out of the Brad Underwood radio show. It was snowing very heavy. Then it let up. Then it picked up again, I guess. Heard the snow plows out working this morning. We'll start with the representatives from OSF Healthcare. That's next. And then an open line and stock market and anything else on your mind today as we roll on a Tuesday here on Penny for Your Thoughts. We'll come back with more. Get it started after this on Penny for Your Thoughts, DWS. Welcome back to Penny for Your Thoughts here on News Talk 1400 DWS. Again, the phone number is 356-9397. You can text us, Castle Heating and Cooling text line 351-5357, or email us talk at WDWS.com. You may have seen all the news here at the first of the month, beyond the Groundhog Day, on the second. On the first, the change over at Presence, Covenant Hospital there, both here in Urbana and then, of course, over in Danville, but change to OSF. OSF Healthcare moved in. You may have seen the overnight switch they made there on February 1st. And we've got a couple of gentlemen here representing OSF. One is Dr. Jared Rogers, who is the president of OSF Healthcare, heart of Mary Medical Center in Urbana, and the OSF Healthcare Sacred Heart Medical Center in Danville. And good to see Dr. Rogers. How are you?
I'm fine. Thank you, Brian. It's good to see you.
I believe we're neighbors.
We are neighbors.
In
Muhammad.
Yes. How about that? Yeah. Well, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
And also with us is Chad Bohr. He's the chief executive officer of the OSF Healthcare Eastern Region. That includes Danville and Urbana, as well as Bloomington and Pontiac. And good to have you here.
Yeah, thank you so much.
How are
Appreciate
you?
The opportunity.
Pretty exciting day the other day on February 1st.
Oh, very much so.
Tell us, doctor, how that transition went.
The transition went very well, bottom line. It was extremely exciting because it happened, over a matter of a few hours, where all of the devices, all the computers, everything that was, attached to that had to come out, and new ones came in that were loaded with the new applications. And And the network had to come down at midnight. The new network come up after that. So it was a flurry of activity.
Yeah, not only the physical changes of changing the sign and all the signage and everything else, but the medical record system is what you're talking about, right?
Oh, yeah. The medical record is entirely different. And so all of our mission partners, that's what we call our employees, had to be trained prior to that in the use of the new medical record. And so that huge undertaking. But we're still sanding off some rough edges, but by and large, it has gone extremely well.
Now, you have been with Presence, so you've had to change your business card a little bit, adjust it slightly.
I've been with Presence for a little over 6.5 years before this transition.
And also did some at the U of I, right, as well?
Yep.
Tell us about that.
Well, I'm a clinical professor of family medicine at the University of Illinois, so I teach medical students part-time. Actually, at this point, it's very part-time, but always opportunity to do more.
Yeah. Well, Chad, tell us, for people that aren't familiar, I think they've heard the name OSF. Sure. They probably don't know. Give us the quick thumbnail history of OSF, what it means and how long you've been around.
Yeah, thank you so much. So the sisters, the Order of St. Francis, first hospital began in Peoria in 1877. They came to Bloomington 3 years later in 1880, and then they spread out from there to Pontiac and Rockford and Galesburg and Escanaba, Michigan. And, of course, on the radio, you can't appreciate where I would show you where Escanaba, Michigan is. Maybe some of the listeners would know that. But, you know, the interesting thing about the early days with our sisters is that they went where they were called. They talk about the mission is to serve with the greatest care and love, and they went where there was a need. I said Bloomington was 3 years after they started in Peoria, and of all places, Escanaba was in the early 1900s. I can't imagine how long it would have taken to get there. It's about 8 hours by car from Bloomington to get up there today. But 13 hospitals in our ministry today, with the addition of Sacred Heart and Heart of Mary, but also much bigger than just a collection of hospitals. Really, a truly integrated healthcare delivery system that spans, you know, roughly half the state of Illinois, a little over 20,000 mission partners, and just numerous sites of care.
Yeah. Well, tell us why Urbana, why Danville? What attracted OSF, and how did this come about, I guess?
You know, really two key things in that regard. One was the preservation of Catholic health care. As I said, the sisters see this as a calling and a mission to serve. And so the opportunity to continue Catholic health care in these two communities, Urbana and Danville, and the surrounding areas, was very important to our sisters. You know, secondarily is the geography, the connectedness to Peoria, Bloomington, Pontiac, you know, heading down the interstate to the east. As we move away from thinking about hospitals and delivery of health care to patients who are sick and more about managing a population, then connected geography is really important, because we're focused on that care continuum and ultimately trying to keep people well and out of the hospital.
I know that Presence itself is more based in Chicago. Was that correct?
It sure is. Yeah. Now that we're with OSF Healthcare, the hospital that's farthest out of Chicago is in Kankakee, but largely based in Chicago and the surrounding counties.
Mm-hmm. So it kind of fits being in Urbana and Danville with, because you've got some small communities in there too, that OSF is in, right?
Yeah, I mean, think about the Mendota and Kewaunee, Monmouth. I mean, those were all places, as I mentioned a minute ago, those were all places where the sisters were called in more recent times. Mm-hmm. You know, small communities, rural health care is a challenge today, and the opportunity for us was in those cases to help preserve health care.
So what health care is in the news every day. There are a myriad of challenges, but what's the biggest challenge of all, do you think, just with medicine today and health care?
I think the biggest challenge is providing the care that people need, that people deserve, at a point that is cost-effective and sustainable. I think that's the biggest overall challenge, because, as we know, the cost of health care is fairly high, and it continues to rise. And there's a break point where it won't be able to rise anymore without really damaging, you know, our overall economy.
Mm-hmm. It's Dr. Jared Rogers. He is with OSF Healthcare now, the regional president. We've got Chad Bohr with us as well, 356-9397, 217-351-5357 is our text line, and you can email us talk@wdws.com. I know in recent weeks, nothing happens overnight, But as far as your contract against Health Alliance, so you've been working with Blue Cross Blue Shield, Aetna. Where are we on all of those as far as that transition?
Sure. So a fair number of those have been wrapped up, though obviously Blue Cross is the big one that I think is probably most public. That is a daily discussion today, and it's certainly of interest for both of us, both on the OSF side, you know, as well as for Blue Cross, to get that resolved as quickly as possible. And I mean, my update was as late as 5 o'clock last night. I was on a call just to hear where we are. So we're moving in the right direction. Not happy that we didn't get it done by February 1st. And we know that affects the community, and we're really apologetic in that regard, but we're working as quick as we can.
And as far as hospitalizations, though, as of February 1st, were some of those approved ahead of time?
Yeah, Blue Cross has been good to work with in that regard. And as I understand that, you know, there's been a few patients who have needed hospitalization in the meantime, and we've been able to collaborate with Blue Cross to make sure that those patients aren't adversely affected.
Okay, we've got a couple of questions for you. If you want to put the headphones on, you can hear what's going on. And let's see here. Let's go to Kevin. Hey, Kevin, good morning. How are you?
Hey, I'm great. We got a letter in the mail yesterday saying that we're Blue Cross Blue Shield, and we got a letter in the mail saying that to go to a hospital, we got to go over to Indiana. We can't go to Presence or the new name, or we have to it was a scary letter. Like, I'll be 60 next month, and if I would have a heart attack or something, Indiana would be kind of far to a hospital. And I just, hopefully you guys get this Blue Cross Blue Shield thing fixed right away. So,
Ted, you want to talk about that, Chad?
And again, we are working on this as quickly as we can. And my expectation is that it gets resolved relatively soon. You know, in the meantime, though, particularly if you've got an emergency care issue like that, you need to get to the closest place for your needs, and kind of sort through Blue Cross on the back end. As I mentioned before, even though we don't have an agreement yet, Blue Cross has been good to work with relative to the patients who have needed hospitalizations in these last 5 days.
Mm-hmm. Well, it was just a scary letter. You know, you sign up every December for a new, if you want new health care, and then they said this was going to be taken care of, and then you get a letter saying, well, you might not be able to go to that hospital. It is kind of scary, you know.
Understood.
Yeah. No, so I think that's...
Bring that to your attention.
Yep. All right. Hey, thanks, Kevin. Very much. We appreciate it. I'm sure you've heard that question here in the last few days along the way, and that's a serious matter. Sarah, how are you?
Yes, I'm fine. Good morning. My question was, I just was wondering if any major building renovation was going to be happening. Particularly, I was wondering about the cafeteria area.
Okay, Dr. Rogers, you can...
That's a good question. We certainly are looking at our facilities in a little bit different manner than we've been able to look at them in the last few years. We're looking at what needs to be updated, what needs to be changed. So we have to take a real comprehensive look, but I agree with you. The cafeteria is something that we need to focus on, because that's also, besides just being something that is essential for the operation of the hospital, it's a focal point for visitors, family members, and such. Just in the last month, you'll be glad to know we actually totally revamped our dishwashing room, which, you know, isn't a big deal, that until you really think about it. That's where all the dishes go through, get cleansed, get sterilized, totally new computerized, huge dishwasher, new room. And so that's part of the effort going forth in the cafeteria already, a little bit behind the wall that you don't see, but it's a start.
Okay, I just thought I would add my suggestion. Thank you.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you, Sarah. And any other physical changes? I know the ambulance, you got to work with the ambulance and all of that. How's that going, I guess?
That's going very well. With the ambulance, we certainly are rebranding them. Mm-hmm. We're also in the process of obtaining more new rigs, which is always a good thing. You want an ambulance that's sound, reliable, will get you where you need to go and as fast as you need to get there.
All right, let's go back to the phones here. Again, our representatives from OSF Healthcare. We've got the regional president, Dr. Jared Rogers, and we've got Chad Bohr, who's the CEO of the OSF Healthcare Eastern Region. just had the big change on February 1st. You may have seen stories about that, with Presence becoming OSF Healthcare. We've got Barb. Hi, Barb. How are you?
Hi, Brian. I've got an insurance question for you. I've got HealthLink. I've called our insurance company, and they said that my group is not part of the OSF coverage, although I was covered there under when it was Presence. Who do I call to find out if we're going to get covered? Because, I mean, they just took away a major hospital. You know?
All right. We'll let Chad answer that.
Sure. So as with OSF acquiring the two facilities, all those require that we start over in terms of negotiating rates, negotiating agreements. We can't, they don't allow the assignment of those contracts. And so HealthLink is another one that we haven't gotten quite the questions about. We've got the Blue Cross, but that's another one that's also a priority for us to get resolved as quick as we can. And my apologies that there's just a handful of them and that are just still unresolved, but we're working to get those done. We know those are important to these new communities that we've been called to serve.
Okay, because HealthLink said, oh, yeah, you know, OSF is in our network, but your particular group is not. And I'm like, oh, great.
And so those are, again, those are discussions that are active to get our two new facilities added, and that's a priority for us.
Okay, thank you.
All right, thanks for calling.
Thank you, Barb. We're at 9:24 here on Penny for Your Thoughts. Our representatives here from OSF. I knew healthcare, as you know, anytime there's a change, and that can be scary. You know, people see the name and they say, uh-oh, what happened? But in this case, I know that with the employees there, the employees are just continuing to work, but now they're under OSF, right, Dr. Rogers? Is it?
That's correct. We brought essentially all of our employees with us on the journey going from Presence to OSF Healthcare. And so that's been a great thing. Because you have the same faces, you have people that are trained to do the work, you know that they can do the job.
Mm-hmm. All right, back to the phones here, and let's see. This is Rick. Hey, Rick, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I apologize here. I didn't get tuned in till late, and I wanted to check. I've heard some comments about Blue Cross Blue Shield. I have a scheduled surgery for February 21st. Through Christy, which would be Presence or whatever. And I just want to make sure, will I have coverage or what you're saying? And until I get it worked out, I will not.
You know, at this point, there is not an agreement between the Urbana OSF Hospital and Blue Cross. But I would encourage you just to keep those lines of communication open with your Christy surgeon. Make sure you're reaching out to Blue Cross well in advance, since you've got a little bit of time, since it's a scheduled procedure. Again, we're working on this as quickly as we can, and we want to get this resolved because we know you're one of many folks that this is causing some anxiety for, and we can very much appreciate that.
Okay, so it has not been worked out yet. Check with Christy and check with Blue Cross Blue Shield. Mm-hmm.
Yes, yeah, just keep open lines of communication with them.
Very good.
All right, thank you very much.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll come back with more here after this on Penny for Your Thoughts. Stay tuned. We are back. Again, our representatives here with us for a few minutes. We have to let them go here after the news. We'll do the news headlines, keep them for about 10 minutes, because they've got to be somewhere else here at the top of the hour. But we did want to introduce the transition. We've got Dr. Jared Rogers with us. We've got Chad Bohr. If you have some questions, we do have a couple of texts here. See, that's one that was about... will OSF create or acquire its own physician group to work from the Urbana Hospital? Talk about that. Let me turn your mic on here. There you go.
All right, thank you. And we don't have any intention as we come into Urbana and Danville that we would, as the texter asked, I think the word was require. Mm-hmm. You know, the intent in both of the communities is to collaborate and determine needs in the community, whether there's appropriate physician staffing that exists. And ideally that is the case, and we'll figure out how to work with the folks that are here.
Another question about the transition with Blue Cross Blue Shield, which has been the big issue I know that people have been watching and paying attention to, which is good that they are. I've got some friends of mine who work at pretty high levels in this business, and they tell me nothing happens very quickly. You may have intent to say, hey, we want to do it by this, but it seems like it's like turning around an aircraft carrier sometimes.
That's a great analogy. It is indeed a slow process, and we tried to start the dialogue as soon as we possibly could, and we just, you know, we found ourselves on February 1st not quite getting to terms, mm-hmm. but I do think we're not too far off.
But you're optimistic.
Very optimistic.
In that sense, all right.
That one and the other ones are outstanding resolves that, I know are creating some angst here in the community.
Christie Clinic, years, the physicians have been tied pretty close to Presence, Provena. That relationship good with Christie, all of that, Dr. Rogers?
Yes, we partnered together for many years, and that is certainly going to continue. We do have a good relationship. We continue to build on that every chance that we have.
Now, you're still involved with the Crisis Nursery.
We
are. Is that correct? Tell us about that relationship, how that works.
Well, Crisis Nursery actually started out in a room in Burnham Hospital, and Burnham and Mercy them came together to form Covenant. We've been supportive of Crisis Nursery all along. They're just right across the railroad tracks from us to the north, and we support them with things like security and snow removal and meals and laundry, and we plan to continue doing that.
I know Stephanie Record is over there, so that's been a good relationship.
Oh, it sure has.
Continues. All right. We're going to do some news headlines. We'll keep these gentlemen about 5 or 6 more minutes, and then they've got to go somewhere else here at the top of the hour, so we'll let them do that. But we'll take a quick break for the news headlines. If you have any questions you want to send our way, feel free to do that. Good to have these gentlemen with us. OSF Healthcare here in Urbana and Danville. We'll come back with more after the news headlines here with Michael Kaiser.
A Penny for Your Thoughts with Brian Barnhart continues on News Talk 1400 WDWS. You can reach out to us on the phone at 217-356-9397, email talk at WDWS.com, or text on the Castle text line 217-351-5357.
All right, welcome back. We are on Penny for Your Thoughts here on WDWS, visiting with a couple of representatives here from OSF, of course, with the acquisition here, the moving in Urbana and Danville. And let's go back to the phones here. We have Dr. Jared Rogers with us, and we've also got, of course, Chad Bohr is with us, and we've got Karen. Hi, Karen. Good morning. How are you?
Hi, good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I just had a question about whether or not either facility in Urbana or Danville will be establishing their own in-house hospice care.
That's a very good question. We currently offer in-house hospice care for patients who are in the hospital and have reached that point in life where hospice care is appropriate. And so it's on a case-by-case basis. There won't be a particular in-house unit dedicated to hospice, but for patients that need that are in the hospital, we certainly do offer that.
Okay, so you'll continue to use kind of outside vendors to serve your patients that require hospice?
That is the case. It certainly is.
Okay. All right, thank
All right.
you very much.
Thank you, Karen. All right, let's see here. We had a email. It says, a question for your guests. Is United Healthcare going to be part of OSF? I had not heard them mention UHC going back years ago. Did St. Joseph and Brokaw go with OSF? I went to an eye specialist at OSF and was very pleased with her. My insurance paid on my claims. That's from Pat. So that went in. And also a question, I think my daughter-in-law is registered to deliver at Presence at 8 months and 3 weeks. Hoping you can work everything out. Hopefully it will. That's her.
That is
same situation as some of the others.
That is the plan, so. And I hope it's a successful delivery and a healthy baby.
Well, the excitement of moving in, the changeover, you had an army of people I saw on television moving things around, right? That had to be pretty exciting.
We did. They arrived in buses here and in Danville on the evening of the 31st of January, unloaded, 175 people or so that were all mission partners in OSF, but actually volunteered for this service. And they came in and they swarmed the buildings, replacing every device that was in there. So computers, keyboard, mouses, printers, scanners, and so forth. It was really exciting.
Yep.
There is, if you were to go to our OSF Healthcare Facebook page, there's actually a 90-second video that we created that was entitled "While You Were Sleeping." and it was shot overnight, and then it was posted at 6 a.m. on the on February 1st to give folks kind of a flavor of all that that rush of activity. It was electrifying, actually.
All right, and these gentlemen headed to a phone call. What that's about here in just a moment. Dave is with us here this morning with our guests. Hi, Dave.
Hey guys, congrats on the acquisition of our hospital. I just wanted to ask, and I mean, I'm sure the answer is yes, but my wife and I had our son there when it was present, and I was actually born there way back when it was Mercy. But the birthing unit was amazing. The nurses up there were unbelievable. Like, we still talk about how awesome that experience was, and it had just been remodeled at the time. Was just wondering, I mean, is the nursing staff and the birthing unit going to be the same? Because we're hoping to have another, and want to know that it's going to be similar experience when we have our next.
Well, first, thanks for the congratulations and the loyalty to our facility.
You're going back to Mercy. That goes back a little
generation.
Bit.
Yeah.
The nursing staff, the nursing leadership is all. So you can expect the same great care you've had in the past.
Great. Thank you, guys.
Okay.
Congrats.
Thank you. We've got to let these gentlemen go. You have to be somewhere at 10 o'clock. Tell us why, because it's kind of – I was in minor league and major league baseball, so I know there's like months of preparation for opening day. And then once you get past opening day, there's all kinds of things you got to kind of – go back and look at again. So that's kind of what's going on here.
Yeah, and that's actually a great analogy. I mean, so leading up to February 1st, we had 5 months of activity, planning that we executed on February 1st. But now that we're post day one, between Dr. Rogers and I, there probably are 4 or 5 different phone calls each day now of different teams sort of touching base with all of the integration activities to make sure that as he said earlier, a few rough edges, some things to work out. But you know, whether it's the IT system or it's the devices that were just put out through the facility, we're just touching base regularly to make sure everything's working in the right direction and that issues are getting resolved, and they are.
Okay. So if people have questions about, like questions we've had today, who should they reach out to? Should they contact their health provider, contact the hospital? What's the best way, Dr. Rogers?
A good start would be contacting your health provider. Beyond that, we're certainly open to questions at the hospital, so feel free to call. And, you know, talk with one of our assistants. I'll get the message and I can return.
Okay. Very good. Dr. Rogers, thank you. Chad, good to see you.
Thank you so much.
Good luck with all this.
Thank you, Brian.
Thanks for being with us.
Appreciate
we'll let them get to their next meeting, and we'll take a break. Back with more on Penny for Your Thoughts. Open line here the rest of the way. What's up with the stock market, huh? It's up, it's down, it's up, it's down. Talk about that next. Welcome back. Penny for Your Thoughts continues on this Tuesday. And again, would have liked to, you know, potentially... we'll have those folks on again and take some more questions. We got a lot of emails and texts, a couple of them, 2 or 3 of them we could not get to, but we do appreciate them stopping by. They have to be somewhere else here in the next few minutes, so we needed to let them go. But we do have open lines here this morning. What's up with the stock market? Wow, has it been all over the place today. I think it dropped to about 1,100 points yesterday, and then it was scheduled to be down. I know the Asian markets took a hit. It was the futures all said it was going to be start off at down 500. I think it started down 500 or 600. Then all of a sudden it was up 300. Then it was up 200. And we'll check the latest here and see what it's doing. It's up 190 right now. So what does all that mean? I don't know. There are smarter people than I who know what that's all about. But we can talk about that today. We appreciate Dr. Jared Rogers being with us and also Chad Bohr from OSF. Tomorrow, the return of Justice Robert Steigman. We will have him on. We've got Thursday at 10 a.m. After an open line in the first hour, Reverend Willie Comer, Black History Month. We're going to talk with Willie about issues in our African-American community here in Champaign and Urbana, some of the work he's doing through Youth for Christ City Life, but also at his church in Champaign. So we'll visit with him on Friday, and then we'll have an open line basically both hours on Friday. One short visit, though, with David Woods as we start the Olympics. He was a former writer here at the News Gazette who's now in Indianapolis, and he is covering the Olympics. So we'll get his thoughts on what the big stories of the Olympics are going to be, because there's always, you don't know a whole lot about what's going to happen, and then you get into the Olympics, and suddenly there's all kinds of big stories that are pretty interesting. So we'll talk with him about what to expect for the upcoming Winter Olympics in Korea. So that's kind of the week ahead. We've also, in the following week, we've got some special guests, including Nathan and Julie Gunn, who are going to be at Krannert and part of the show during that next week, we'll be having them on. So I think you'll enjoy visiting with them as well here in the week ahead. That's next week. So anyway, that's what's ahead. 356-9397. Text us on the Castle Heating and Cooling text line, 217-351-5357. And you can email us, talk@wdws.com. Well, let's see here. What can we talk about right now? National news stories. We've mentioned the stock market, the Democrats, the document attempting to counter Republican arguments and evidence that criticize the methods the FBI used to obtain a surveillance warrant on a one-time Trump campaign associate. The U.S. Vice President Mike Pence on his way to the Winter Olympics in South Korea, not ruling out meeting with North Korean officials as he prepares to head out that way. Also, the Saudi Arabians say the kingdom there has spent nearly $1 billion in aid to Yemen, plan to spend another $1.5 billion, despite being a major cause of that country's humanitarian disaster. That's all part of some of the national headlines. Here locally, there was a lot of talk in the Sunday paper. I was not in town on Sunday. Of course, it was at Ohio State for the Illinois basketball game against the Buckeyes, but got a chance to kind of skim through some of the paper on Sunday. That was interesting to read. Chancellor Robert Jones had a commentary in the paper. He was responding to Jim Dye. You may have seen some of that commentary along the way on Sunday. 356-9397. Email us, talk@wdws.com. Got a text from Bill. He says, a friend of mine told me a lady he works with asked him if he had read the Farmer's Almanac. She said they were predicting lots of snow for February. I said that was an amazing prediction, considering it was made before Groundhog Day. I hope Greg Solier doesn't hear that. That's from Bill. That was on the Castle Heating and Cooling text line, 351-5357. This day in history, February 6, 1778, the U.S. won the official recognition and military support from France with the signing of a Treaty of Alliance in Paris. This day in 1952, Britain's King George died in Norfolk, England. He was succeeded as monarch by his then 25-year-old elder daughter, who became Queen Elizabeth II. And, of course, she's still there, Queen Elizabeth. And this day in 1998, Bill Clinton signed a bill, the president, changing the name of Washington National Airport to Ronald Reagan Washington National Airport in honor of Ronald Reagan's birthday, who was born on this day in 1911. 9:49, we'll take a break. Come back with more for you on Penny for Your Thoughts after this timeout on a Tuesday. 356-9397 is how you can join us here on Penny for Your Thoughts, on the phones anyway. The text line, Castle Heating and Cooling text line, 351-5357, and you can email us, talk@wdws.com. Hey, wouldn't the inside of your house look better with a new coat of paint? Oh, Precision Painting. Chad Ebert, he's the owner, he asked that question. And Precision Painting, specializing in interior painting, they're experts in repairing drywall, getting rid of ugly wallpaper. We've all got some of that, right? And removal of dated popcorn ceilings. Precision Painting, experts in making walls look brand new again. And he wants you to know, Chad does, that Precision Painting's employees are full-time, long-term, and trustworthy. Winter rates, right now we're in winter, right, are the lowest of the year. Plus, this time of year you spend most of your free time indoors. Wouldn't it be great if it looked the way you've always wanted? And they also paint those kitchen cabinets, too. They can take old or ugly builder-grade cabinets and spray them in a cabinet finish, completely transforming your kitchen. Call Chad Ebert, 384-7590. Contact them. You can also visit the website, Y-Precision, W-H-Y, Precision, P-R-E-C-I-S-I-O-N.com, Y-Precision.com. And again, 384-7590, one of our sponsors here on Penny for Your Thoughts. I mentioned today is Ronald Reagan's birthday, born in the state of Illinois, of course, two-term president in the 1980s, and always like hearing history. You know how much I love history, and I like to hear it as it happened. And here's one big event you probably remember.
Welcome change and openness, for we believe that freedom and security go together, that the advance of human liberty The advance of human liberty can only strengthen the cause of world peace. There is one sign the Soviets can make that would be unmistakable, that would advance dramatically the cause of freedom and peace. General Secretary Gorbachev, if you seek peace, if you seek prosperity for the Soviet Union and Eastern Europe, if you seek liberalization, come here to this gate. Mr. Gorbachev, open this gate. Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
And of course, as we know from history, the wall did eventually come down. And of course, a couple other moments that are make you laugh. The debate with Walter Mondale, was President Reagan too old to be running again? Can he handle the job? Here's that.
Your staff say you were tired after your most recent encounter with Mr. Mondale. I recall yet that President Kennedy had to go for days on end with very little sleep during the Cuba Missile Crisis. Is there any doubt in your mind that you would be able to function in such circumstances?
Not at all, Mr. Truitt, and I want you to know that also I will not make age an issue of this campaign. I am not going to exploit for political purposes my opponent's youth and inexperience.
And just one more on Ronald Reagan's birthday today, February 6th. This is one of my, I just love convention speeches. Regardless of party, I just love to listen to convention speeches. And this, he was having a little fun at, I think, Bill Clinton's expense here.
This fellow they've nominated claims he's the new Thomas Jefferson. Well, let me tell you something. I knew Thomas Jefferson. He was a friend of mine. And Governor, you're no Thomas Jefferson.
Anyway, just remembering Ronald Reagan on his birthday. Of course, what, he passed away in 2004. Had the battle with Alzheimer's there at the end, but just wanted to mention his birthday today here on this February 6th. 356-9397. It's how you can join us on Penny for Your Thoughts. We're at 9:57. We'll talk a little stock market in the next hour and try to figure out what in the world's going on. I guess at last check, the Dow was up 187. 356-9397 on the phone lines. Castle Heating and Cooling text line 351-5357 and email us at talk@wdws.com. The chancellor at the University of Illinois, Urbana, says he plans to meet with the Faculty Advisory Committee today about the professor accused of videotaping Chief Alanowicz supporters in a bathroom at the State Farm Center. Chancellor Robert Jones placing Jay Rosenstein on paid administrative leave last month after his arrest. He was released, no charges filed by the state's attorney. We've been following that story in recent weeks. Our newsroom has. And during a faculty Senate meeting yesterday, debate continued over the handling of the case. The American Association of University Professors argued that Jones did not follow university policy in placing Rosenstein on paid administrative leave. Back to the phones, and Joyce is with us here at 9:58. Hi, Joyce.
Hi, Brian. I was just wondering if one of your listeners could call in and tell me if the Champagne Camera Club is going to have their pictures down at Lincoln Square Mall this weekend. We can't find anything in the paper about it, but it's about the time of the year that they do that, and I can hang up and listen. Maybe somebody will call and tell us.
Okay, well, very good, because I entered that once.
Did you? They have beautiful photography down there, and we are looking forward to it, but we couldn't find anything in Sunday's paper or last night, and we just wondered maybe one of your listeners could call up and tell us.
Okay, very good. I know Hiram Paley used to kind of help out with that. So
yeah, he did. And we'll just listen and see what somebody says, okay?
Okay, very good. Thank you.
Thank you, Brian.
Yep.
Bye.
Appreciate it, Joyce. We're at 9:59, approaching the top of the hour. We'll have CBS News at 10, then we'll talk a little stock market in the second hour. Why was the Dow down 1,100 points yesterday? I mean, what happened? Was it 666 down the day before, which is, I guess, an ominous number, right? But then it was down 1,100 more yesterday, and then it was the futures were all down this morning before everything got started, and it went way up again. So we'll follow that today, follow the bouncing ball, if you will, of the stock market. Appreciate our guests from OSF being with us. Hopefully that was helpful. I know there's probably more questions out there that we could not get to. We'll have more of our Penny for Your Thoughts show next at 10 o'clock, WDWS, Champaign-Urbana.
It's the second hour of A Penny for Your Thoughts with Brian Barnhart on News Talk 1400 WDWS. You can reach out to us on the phone at 217-356-9397, email talk at WDWS.com, or text on the Castle Heating and Cooling text line 217-351-5357. Now, here's Brian Barnhart.
All right, welcome back. We are on Penny for Your Thoughts here this morning, and you can join us on the phone, email, or texting. We've talked with the representatives from OSF in the first hour. They had a lot of comments and questions for them. They had to take off. They had to be somewhere for some more conference calls and so forth at 10 o'clock and some meetings they had to get to, so we had to let them go a little early. But we appreciate them coming by. Also talked a little bit about Ronald Reagan's birthday. We've talked about the stock market, a little news from the U of I, and a question about Camera Day, the Camera Club at the Lincoln Square. Anybody have any information on that? Is that continuing? Hiram Paley used to have, was kind of in charge of that, and I actually entered a photo years ago. Didn't win, but it was fun. It's fun about this time of the year, and didn't know if anybody had any information on that. If you do, let us know via the phone or a text or an email. All right, stock market was down 1,100 points yesterday. I thought I'd call somebody that knows about this kind of stuff, Paul Rudy, who hosts the Rudy on the Money show. Paul, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm just getting back from a vacation in Captiva, Florida, so I guess this is my welcome back.
Well, good to have you back. And so what did all that mean yesterday?
Well, you know, when J.P. Morgan, who was an iconic businessman and banker, once a reporter asked, well, what do you think the stock market's going to do? His response was, it will fluctuate. So, you know, when you see stocks gaining 6% in the first 22 sessions of 2018, and then in the last 2 days, they gave it all back and then some, I guess that's what Aristotle meant when he said stocks take the stairs up and the elevator down.
Well, you know this phrase better. I read it somewhere in, I think, a national publication said, stocks wild ride, talking about the first few weeks of the year, may signal melt up, which were the telltale signs of getting overly exuberant. So maybe this had to happen to correct itself a little bit, right?
I think it's healthy. The last radio show we did was less than a couple weeks ago, maybe 2 weeks ago today. I had mentioned that for the first time I started seeing investors and even clients, some of them acting a little, what I mentioned was squirrely on the radio show, and just a little too giddy. I think they were taking it for granted, getting quite complacent. Look, I also mentioned on the last show that it was literally the longest period without a 5% correction. I think it was 396 days. That's pretty unusual. So, you know, I guess my simplest explanation for the way markets move is this: rising prices attract buyers and falling prices attract sellers. And last time we had a big decline like this was August of 2011, about 1,632 days ago. Culprit back then was the European debt crisis, and today I suppose it's a combination of things, but rising interest rates seem to be the main culprit or the main worry for people.
Mm-hmm. So people, I know your advice has always been just kind of stay the course, because this will go up and down, but it went back up today, so I assume people got in maybe a little bargain hunting. Is that possible?
Well, in fact, you know, yes, in fact, and well, it may be too early to say, but I told my sons and my son-in-law, we have some of our newest clients. I always hate to take new clients at all-time highs. I'm kind of a chicken, so I'll dollar-cost average in, you know, month by month. And I told the boys, I said, hey, do February's now and do an extra month. And this was on the close yesterday. So far, so good. That's just random luck.
Mm-hmm.
But like you said, staying the course, well, why do we have to stay the course? Well, if you go back to 1926, and kind of look at the broad U.S. market, it's outperformed one-month Treasury bills by almost 9% a year. But in order to earn those returns, investors have to pay the piper from time to time. And I'd say seeing the Dow fall 1,500 points in a single day or so, or within the day, fits that bill.
Yeah. So what do you think is going to happen the next week or so with
it? Well, look, that's impossible to know. I will say this. Basically, if you look at it intraday, we've had pretty close to a 10% correction. You usually get one of those a year. 2000, it's a midterm election year. I've told a lot of people I'd be surprised if we didn't get a 10 to 20% decline in this year. It's pretty typical. So I've been doing iceberg drills, what I call them, lifeboat drills, with clients saying, look, I think we're in a really strong secular long-term bull market. That will last probably years from now. But even within those, there's going to be time periods that are going to scare the bejesus out of you. And the only lesson I've learned, since I've been doing the On the Money show for, I guess, 26 years now, when I started that show, the Dow was at 3,000. And so I guess my staying the course has worked pretty well. I've seen the Dow go from 3,000 to 26,000. And I think that's the lesson. If your money it belongs in the great companies of America over your lifetime, the only thing you can do to mess it up is to just react emotionally. Unfortunately, that happens all too often. I think I've always said on the show, the biggest impediment to investment success is how people behave. And you get these days like yesterday and Friday, you know, seeing 5 or 10% of your stock market portfolio seemingly disappear is not fun. It's psychologically stressful. But this is why you always have to visit your asset allocation. And I've been suggesting to the listeners, look, rebalance. In times when you're calm, that's when you look at your allocation and rebalance. So anybody that, you know, took that advice probably saved themselves some of the pain in the last couple of weeks.
All right. Well, like you say, I think overall it's probably healthy. I mean, experts like you, when you see it go up as fast as it did, probably gives you pause to think, okay, somewhere along the way this has to correct itself.
Of course, it's health restoring. And, you know, the four I use is this too shall pass. It's just one more of the many fluctuating periods that aren't fun that investors will go through. If they want to enjoy the premium returns that the great companies of America have provided investors, at least historically, they have to put up with and maybe even learn to appreciate the premium fluctuation.
Yeah. Well, welcome back from your vacation. And again, we got a show next week, right?
We'll see you a week from today.
Okay. Thanks, Paul.
All right. Thanks, Brian.
Yep.
All right.
Good to visit with you. We're at 356-9397. You can text us, Castle Heating and Cooling text line, 351-5357, or email us talk@wdws.com. Zoe jumps on the line with us. Hi, Zoe.
Good morning, Brian.
Hey, good morning.
Hey, please, I have a confession first. I've had to miss the program a few times, so what I'm going to say isn't appropriate that you say, well, I already did that. But have you had Jeannie Ives on your program yet?
I have not.
Well, you should do that, please, before the election.
Yeah, we're thinking about it. Yeah, we're looking at what we can do here before we get
to... And not just for 15 minutes, if you can do it. I mean, so people could call in and ask questions if she'll let you.
Yeah, we'll have to kind of work it out. I don't know. I know there's been some talk, you know, of having the governor on and, you know, Jeannie Ives at some point, and, you know, we kind of have to give them equal time, however that works. So it's...
But I mean, if the governor can't do it, you wouldn't not have her on if she'd do it, would you? Because that doesn't seem fair. I mean,
no, you got to at least offer it.
Offer it, generally.
It works, yeah.
So, but anyway, I just think she's just absolutely wonderful. Mm-hmm. I just hope people get out and vote for her because she could. I believe she could. She could beat Pritzker.
You think so? Head to head?
I do.
Yeah.
I do, because she is really dynamic. She has a lot going for her. People should look into her really a lot, and you'll find out. I mean, she's just a dynamo.
Okay. Well, good.
Thanks
you've met her then, so.
I haven't met her, no. I'd love to.
You just hear
I've read about her, though, and I've heard her speak.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Zoe.
Bye.
Great to hear from you. Back with more Penny for Your Thoughts. You can join us, text us, email us. All of that straight ahead on Penny for Your Thoughts, second hour, open line. Welcome back, Penny for Your Thoughts, hour number two. We are at 10:21. We had the representatives from OSF, Order of St. Francis, healthcare on in the first hour for about 35 minutes or so. And we've been talking about everything from the stock market. Paul Rudy, we jumped on the line with him just talking about this big drop yesterday. The Dow is, I think, down 69 at the moment after the big drop of 1,100 points plus yesterday. 356-9397 is how you can join us. You can text us, Castle Heating and Cooling text line 3515-357, or email us talk@wdws.com. Happy birthday to the winningest coach in college baseball history, Augie Garrido. Remember when he was here at Illinois, of course? Augie Garrido, happy birthday. This day, he was born in 1939. And got a text in on the Castle Heating and Cooling text line. Why did the warning sirens go off twice this morning? Yeah, there was a little bit of a gap there between the two. The first Tuesday of the month test that they did. I don't have the answer to that. Maybe somebody does. All right, 356-9397. Sad to see some sad news here. Mary Frances Fagan has passed away at the age of 63. She was a spokeswoman for American Airlines and two governors. She also worked at WPGU several years ago. Ed Bond has jumped in here with me real quick. So you knew Mary Frances?
You know, I knew Mary, in the middle, late 70s at WPGU. Great person. I didn't know she was ill. It says that she had a brain tumor a while back, and she passed away, but very accomplished person. Other interesting things I learned there, I knew she was with American Airlines, and she helped arrange all the flights into town for people at the Ebert Fest.
Is that right?
And, you know, bring them into town, make sure they got here. And Mr. Crandall, who was the chairman of American Airlines, said that American Airlines was one of the first frequent flyer programs, and through her expertise in marketing, helped forge a great airline, American Airlines.
So you worked with her at
She was a news person, and several people that you know. I'm sure John Paul would know her, and Mary Shank would know her. She was also a spokesman for Governors Thompson and Edgar.
Quite
terrific
a
career. She was very lively, very energetic. And we used to call her Moth. I don't know why we called her Moth. But, hey, this is Moth. Let's go. And
that's too bad. She passed away at the age of 63 Sunday at Rush Medical Center in Chicago, complications from a brain tumor.
Yeah, I guess about a year ago she had a seizure and never recovered type thing.
Sorry to hear that. Mary Frances Fagan, 23 years a spokeswoman for American Airlines, but got her start here at the University of Illinois and WPGU. And
Centennial High School, I believe.
Is that right?
I think so. Or is it Central?
I don't see it in here.
I haven't gotten to that.
There's a difference, you know.
Oh, there's a big difference, yes. But, she's a local product right here and spent a lot of time State of Illinois and American Airlines.
Yeah, Assistant Press Secretary for Governors Jim Thompson and Jim Edgar. So sad to hear that. Sorry about that. Thank you, Ed.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. We're at 356-9397. Text us on the Castle Heating and Cooling text line 3515-357 and email us talk@wdws.com. What's on your mind today? Getting ready for the Olympics. We'll visit with someone at the end of the week, kind of getting you ready for that. I don't know. It's always hard to get fired up for the Olympics initially, especially the winter ones. The summer ones, you know, of the two Olympics, I guess, the Summer Olympics seem to get more attention than the Winter Olympics. But obviously with the all that goes on with the Winter Olympics, all the skiing and all the winter sports, should get more attention, I think, and it's some great competition. We'll talk with David Woods at the end of the week about that. Speaking of the Olympics, the organizing committee for the Olympics, Winter Olympics in South Korea, called in 900 military personnel to replace the private security workers after more than three dozen came down with a norovirus. In a statement, they said on Sunday that workers reported headaches, stomach pain, and diarrhea. The Province Health and Environment Research Center found 41 workers with symptoms that might be related to the virus. The organizing committee said groundwater used in food and beverages at the Horeb Youth Center is suspected, and the cause is being investigated. In their absence, 900 military personnel will work across 20 venues until the affected workers can return. Let me tell you about the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. Nice drive in the country, Interstate 74, 4 miles inside the state line of Indiana. Make sure now you remember they're an hour ahead. So if you're planning to go to dinner there, you better remember they are an hour ahead. You gain the hour coming back. Of course, Bob and Bonnie Wright are friends over there. The Beef House has been known as one of the top family steakhouses in the Midwest. Features everything from 8 to 20-ounce ribeyes, petite to extra-large filet mignon, my favorite New York strip, chopped sirloin with grilled onions. Maybe you want pork. Get one or two pork chops. Barbecued boneless chicken breast. I had that the other night over at the Beef House. You can also get a three-piece pan-fried chicken dinner. Not the deep-fried, but the pan-fried that your mom or grandma used to make. All of the sides are terrific. I like the baked potato with lots of butter. If you have young ones in your group, Beef House with a chicken menu, a children's menu as well, includes hamburger or chicken tenders. So check it out at the Beef House, Covington, Indiana, one of our sponsors here on A Penny for Your Thoughts. 1027, back with more. Your phone calls, emails, and texts all welcome. Open line up until 11 o'clock. So what's on your mind? Questions? Comments? How's your 401k doing today? I think it'll be okay in the long term, but anyway, Dow was down wildly yesterday, back up today. Wild swings on Wall Street. Back with more after this on Penny for Your Thoughts. Brian Barnhart back with you on Penny for Your Thoughts. We talked about the passing of Mary Frances Fagan, passing away at the age of 63. Worked here on radio, WPGU, on the campus. Back, graduate, got a bachelor's degree in radio and TV from the University of Illinois here at Urbana-Champaign. She did graduate from Centennial High School. Was born in Boston, grew up in Champaign. Her nurse mom, her dad was an obstetrician. Moved to Champaign and again graduated from Centennial High School. Ed had asked me about that, and I did find that in the story. 356-9397 is how you can join us on the phones. You can text us, Castle Heating and Cooling text line 351-5357, and you can email us, talk@wdws.com. Got the news headlines coming up here in just a moment, and then we'll resume with more phone calls. Let's go to Alan here. Alan, how are you?
Morning, Brian. About the market correction and all that, we was way overdue for that. I actually made more money from my mutual funds. I have a low risk and a high risk. I made more money last year than any years I've been in it, since I've been in it.
Yeah.
And I have a friend that she did quite well. She made over $40,000 for the year. She has all high risk. Whatever, high risk. Anyway, She called me last night. She was all worried about that. I said, don't worry about it. This was overdue. Yeah, we're going to lose a little money this month or so, but just take all you've been making up to this point. I said, it's going to come back. Just take your time.
Yeah, you really only lose it on paper. When you lose it is when you sell, right?
Right.
Yeah.
So she was all worried about it. I said, don't worry about it. I'm not losing any sleep over it. We was overdue for this. I said, we're doing really well.
Well, you know, the fact that it went up so high so fast, I was like, and I'm not an expert at all, and I'm like, whoa, that's going up way fast. So,
well, it's went up 6,000 points since Trump became president, and that's a lot in a hurry.
And like 1,000 in a month.
Yeah, so, exactly.
So
all our liberal friends, I wonder how they're going to, well, they're going to try to jump it as much as they can, but I think they're just making fools of themselves again.
All right, Alan. Hey, thanks for the call.
Yep.
Got to get to the news headlines. Michael Kaiser next on Penny for Your Thoughts. Open line up till 11.
A Penny for Your Thoughts with Brian Barnhart continues on News Talk 1400 WDWS.
Welcome back to Penny for Your Thoughts. Open line here the rest of this half hour up until 11 o'clock. Rush Limbaugh Show at 11. 356-9397 is how you can join us on the phones. Text us, Castle Heating and Cooling text line 351-5357. And you can email us at talk@wdws.com is how you can reach us. I don't know if you've seen all the stories. If you watch This Is Us, if you've seen that program, and they got a lot of viewers right after the Super Bowl on NBC, the whole story, I'm not going to give away any storylines here. I assume most of you have watched or you're caught up. But even if you aren't, I'm not going to spoil anything. But the whole story with the crock pot and the fire that came from the crock pot, which was just a very, very sad part of the show. I guess there's these reports out there now, and I don't know, social media spreads these things like wildfire, but no pun intended there. But, you know, people throwing away their crock pots because they're afraid they're going to explode on them or something, which was interesting. There's a whole, there's been a couple of articles around national newspapers about crock pots and, as it turned out, what caused that fire in that show. So anyway, that's interesting fodder for discussion along the way as well that I've been reading. Let's see here. Hi, Brian. An email said, I've noticed something around town lately. The cold weather is here, but there's a positive thing about it. People are wearing their pants up, not down around their knees. It's always amazed me why they even wore belts. The belts didn't do any good. All of this is from Mike. Also, a text in says, lived in Champaign over 25 years. Tornado sirens have always went off twice. Okay. I didn't think so, but anyway, there you go. That texter tells me that. On the NFL Honors Show on TV over the weekend, a text comes in, says they honored the people that had passed away, and J.C. Caroline's picture was shown on the NFL Honors Show over the weekend. 356-9397 is how you can join us on the phones. You can text us, just like those folks did. Castle Heating and Cooling text line 351-5357 or email us talk@wdws.com. All right, back to the phones. Anna Wall, how are you, Anna Wall?
Oh, pretty good. Just sitting up here enjoying reading the controversy between my friend, but someone I admire, Jim Dye, and the professor at the University of Illinois, Dr. Jones.
Yeah, the chancellor.
Let me state at the outset that I have certain biases. One of them is the fact that I am an Afro-American, born and raised in the state of Tennessee, under Plessy versus Ferguson's separate but equal doctrine. I'm sorry, many of my opportunities were, and my interest in education were facilitated by the white, so-called white racists for whom my family worked. Therefore, I'm sorry. I have to also remember that my maternal grandfather was half white and half Indian. Now, I'm not going to say that I'm in sympathy with any group. I'm just going to say that in America today, I wish the intelligentsia, particularly the Afro-Americans, at the University of Illinois who have the opportunity, would spend more time trying to facilitate the intellectual growth of African-American students and all other students than to get involved with this argument over the chief. Hmm. Now, the Indians have a right to their opinion. I have a right to mine. My opinions, however, are based on what I believe should be opportunities to facilitate the interest and growth in education and the opportunities that are provided and offered by that university. So I have to admit at the outset, I tend to agree completely with Mr. Dye's dialogue.
Yep. So you think they should just be concerned more about making the opportunities, which I think they are, for African Americans, rather than getting into the whole chief back and forth.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Okay.
So that's what I had to say.
Thank you, Anna Wall.
Okay, bye.
Good to hear from you. 10:41 here at DWS. We're on Penny for Your Thoughts. Open line up until the top of the hour. We'll do open line tomorrow. Justice Steigman will sit in with us tomorrow as Judge Steigman will return. So we can cover the waterfront with Justice Steigman. He knows a little bit about everything. So we will do that tomorrow. We'll talk to Reverend Willie Comer. We're in Black History Month, and Reverend Comer is a pastor of an African-American church, also works with predominantly African-American youth, part of the Youth for Christ City Life, and what's being done there and some of the work being done in town to try to deal with issues there, not just in the African-American community, but across our community with some of the violence we've had, and but just also some of the issues facing African-Americans in our community. So Reverend Comer will be with us on Thursday. We'll talk a little Olympics on Friday. Hi, Tom. How are you? Good morning.
Good morning, sir. I'm fine. Like Dave Ramsey said, better than I deserve.
That's what Dave... Go ahead.
Yeah. I love to listen to Anna Wall. She is always right on the money, and she has a lot of nice things to say, and she doesn't mince words sometimes, and that's what I love about her.
Well, she gives us her thoughts frequently, and I know a lot of people agree with you when she calls in.
Yeah. On an unrelated subject, who is the state representative for the 44th District?
Oh, state rep 44th District. I can't remember. I can't remember who's where. Since they redraw them every few years, I can't remember where they go. I know you're talking state district, right, as opposed to congressional? Yeah.
From the General Assembly,
yeah. I don't know. I can find out. I should know that, and I lose track of who's where.
Well, I say shame on him, because yesterday I was coming down, going west on 74, and the turnaround that is just east of Prairie View Road, he went through that turnaround and went back the other way. Now, let me tell you, a guy in his position should know better than to do that.
So you knew it was him,
huh?
You knew it was him.
Yeah, it said 44 on his license plate on the back one.
Oh, okay.
And the front one said General Assembly.
Well, there you go.
Yeah. But anyway, we was coming home one Sunday morning, and I was westbound on 74, just crossed 57, pickup truck in the driving lane, so I'm in the process of passing him. I'm watching my mirrors. Just west of 57, about a quarter of a mile, is another turnaround, and there's some idiot that's sitting there stopped in the passing lane with his turn signal on, waiting for the eastbound traffic to clear so he could go through that. And my wife says, "Look out." And I looked up. I said, "Holy smokes." And I did a quick turnaround or around, got away from him. And hopefully, I was glad I didn't hit the pickup truck.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, Lord, have mercy. It makes you shudder when you see stuff like that.
Absolutely.
And those are not made for the motoring public. Those are made for the emergency vehicles and the salt shakers.
Yep, you're not supposed to be doing that.
So if Mr. 44 is listening, shame on him.
All right. Well, thank you. Thank you, Tom.
Thanks, Brian.
All right, appreciate it. 356-9397. We're at 1044. Let's go back to the phones. Steve is up next. Hi, Steve.
Good morning. Hey, just a couple quick things. I'm 66 years old, and the Republicans are against the FBI now. Is that right?
The Republicans are against the FBI?
Yeah. The president says they're all out to get him and everything. But for as long as I can remember, the Republicans have always cried that the FBI was doing their job and that the Democrats were the ones that were crybabies about the situation.
So it depends on whose ox is being gored. Is that what you're saying?
I guess. So then another couple quick things.
Yeah.
He was talking about history repeating itself. Kind of unusual that Ronald Reagan was tear the wall down and Trump build the wall up.
Yeah, different parts of the world, but okay.
And then the last one is maybe somebody ought to buy the president a dictionary. Because in my opinion, when you don't stand up and clap for everything he says, that's not treason, is it? That's what he calls it.
Yeah, well, he's what you call a bare-knuckle brawler.
He's what you call a half-truth man.
Yeah.
About half that comes out of his mouth is so untrue that, and people wonder why the rest of us don't really believe him on most of what he has to say.
Well, everything with him is a negotiation. So he'll usually say something, or sometimes to you'll say, well, that's way out there. And then when he comes back from it, you go, oh, well, maybe that's what he's really looking for. So, but yeah. You're right. He does say some wild things. So,
okay.
All right. Thanks, Steve. And Phyllis. Hey, Phyllis, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good.
Good.
I'm calling about the sirens. If you listen to those two different runs of the siren, you will notice that they are different. The first one is a steady tone. That is your tornado warning. The second one is a wavering tone, and that is a holdover, I believe, from the Cold War, and it is air raid siren.
Really?
Yes.
And they always do them together?
Yes.
Hmm. Okay. Well,
when Hawaii said that they were testing theirs, I'm sitting here going, we do it every month.
Yes, we do. Well, I just haven't paid close enough attention. I always hear it, and I go, oh, yeah, it's the first Tuesday of the month, and then I quit listening, I guess.
So. Yeah. Well, next time, give a listen, and you'll hear the difference.
Okay. I'll do that.
Okay.
Thank you, Phyllis.
Uh-huh. Bye-bye.
All right. We'll take a quick break. We've got a couple callers waiting. I know who one of them is. We'll get right back after this. I got to get this in. All right, back to the phones here at 10:51. Bill Black is on the line.
Good morning, Brian. How you doing?
Bill, how are you?
Well, by golly, just enjoying another beautiful day in the neighborhood, right?
Yes, yes. And trying to stay warm and watching the stock market.
Even Mr. Rogers might say it isn't such a good day in the neighborhood. I don't know. And I guess we're going to get some more.
Yeah, that's
well,
what
the weatherman said.
That's what I understand.
Well.
So what are you up to?
Hey, I'm up to about 220 pounds,
oh,
which isn't good, but that's the way it goes. Hey, Brian, I can clear something up for you. One of the callers said a General Assembly license plate number 44.
Yes.
Made a turn that the gentleman didn't agree with. Your license plate in the General Assembly is not your district. It's your seniority.
Oh.
So whoever that was is 44th. In seniority, I know that because when I left, I think I was number 5, but that was a long time ago.
Okay, well, see, I just learned something today.
He could call the Secretary of State Special Plates Division, and they could tell him who that is if he really wants to know. But
yeah,
the license plate for anybody in the General Assembly is not their district, but it's their seniority. Now, the Senate is different. The Senate, their district is their license plate. So, a little bit confusing.
Yeah. Well, I've never heard that. And they still
have... Well, my golly, listen, that's going to cost you a cup of coffee the next time I'm over there.
Very good, Bill, and we'll have you on sometime with that cup
of
coffee.
Well, we'd love to do that. And Brian, let's enough of the losses now. I want you to bring home winners every game that's left.
Well, that's what I'm going to try to do.
All right.
That's my goal every time.
Okay.
Thanks, Bill.
Go Illini.
Go Illini. Good to hear from you.
Goodbye.
There you go. The number on the license plate is not their district. It's their seniority in the House. Different in the Senate. So you learn something every day. Let's go to Dave. Hey, Dave, good morning.
Hey, good morning. How you doing today?
Good, sir.
Good. One comment to the gentleman about the wall. Do you remember the Berlin Wall? It was built to keep people in, not to keep people out.
Right.
And that's what we're building a wall here for. And Mr. Trump is our president. I voted him because he's not a polished politician, and I do expect him to mess up from time to time.
Well, I always say in Washington, they play a parlor game that only they know the rules to. Okay,
exactly.
Both parties do it, and Trump is not from that world, and they don't know what to do with it.
And that's why a lot of people voted for him, because he was not part of what everybody's calling the swamp these days.
Right. No, he's... And there are things he does. You know, some people even that vote for him say, oh, boy, I wish he wouldn't do that. But he definitely is, he's a, as I said, a bare-knuckle brawler. So
yes, sir, he is. So. Have a good day. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Dave. We were discussing, we got a text in on the Castle Heating and Cooling text line discussing the tornado siren. It was my understanding the tornado siren sounds in Champaign County at 10 a.m. on the first Tuesday, and the civil defense siren is tested at 10:05. So there you go. Come back with more Penny for Your Thoughts after this quick timeout. Back on Penny for Your Thoughts. Got an email in. It says a heart-stopping emergency alert was accidentally sent to smartphones across the eastern seaboard this morning, warning unsuspecting civilians of an impending tsunami from Florida to Boston. Spokesperson for the National Weather Service confirmed the glitch to the Associated Press, saying the agency was struggling to get to the bottom of the panic-inducing incident. This is on the East Coast. The National Tsunami Warning Center did not issue a tsunami warning, watch, or advisory for any part of the United States or Canada this morning, tweeted the National Weather Service. Initial reports suggest users with certain mobile apps, such as AccuWeather, received what appeared to be an actual warning of an impending tsunami, not a mere test of the Weather Service's emergency preparedness. AccuWeather eventually corrected the false alarm on Twitter, writing the National Weather Service tsunami warning this morning was a test. No tsunami warning is in effect for the east coast of the U.S. That incident echoes a similar accident weeks ago when Hawaii's Office of Emergency Management sent an accidental ballistic missile warning to thousands of residents and tourists, warning them of an impending North Korean nuclear strike. So no tsunami, no missile attacks on the warning bells there. And sad to see the injured snowy owl brought to the University of Illinois Wildlife Medical Clinic has died. This is from Deborah Pressey in our newsroom, according to her caregivers. An update posted by the U of I College of Veterinary Medicine says the snowy owl died February 3rd after she had been placed under anesthesia to reassess and rebandaged her wing because she had loosened the bandage and worsened a fracture. The snowy owl had been picked up by a motorist who found her injured along a roadside in Decatur, was brought to the U of I with multiple fractures back on January 30th. She is believed to have been struck by a vehicle. Native to Arctic regions, snowy owls typically don't migrate farther. Don't migrate this far south, but they've been seen in greater numbers in Midwestern states this winter. Anyway, so the injured snowy owl passed away at the U of I. We're at 10:58. Quick text from Robert. He says, one other thing on this lovely morning. I travel I-74 past the turnarounds that your previous caller mentioned, referred to near Muhammad as frequently as four times a day. At least once a week, a person turns around there near the I-57 interchange. It is very unsafe. So that is from Robert in Muhammad. So thank you, Robert. Thank you again. Texts and emails. I love getting those. Keep those coming. We'll try to get to each and every one as we go along during the course of the morning. Of course, the phone calls as well. Good to hear from a lot of different folks here today on A Penny for Your Thoughts. Justice Steigman will join us tomorrow. Continue with open line discussion with the judge. He always has two or three things he brings up, but we certainly can cover whatever topics you would like tomorrow, both national and local. We'll have Reverend Willie Comer on Thursday, and we'll get you ready for the Olympics on Friday as we head into the weekend. Thanks to Ed Bond. Thanks to all of our guests today. Folks from OSF were here early. Glad you've been with us. Be with us tomorrow as well, 9 to 11. Penny for Your Thoughts right here on News Talk 1400. WDWS, Champaign-Urbana. It's 11 o'clock at the Tone.